So, let us begin then. Esoteric Astrology Adventure 112. C, page 409. And we're talking about cycles. And DK has the kind of perspective that will allow him to talk about the reasons for many cataclysmic Earth events at specific times, in this case during the past 150 years. Volcanoes, earthquakes, a great cosmic center is pulling on the Earth and maybe on the solar system as a whole, and it is causing these effects. It's his knowledge of the great science of cycles, which is part of what is called all knowledge, at least all knowledge with respect to our planetary globe or chain, or at the most planetary scheme. It can't be all knowledge, you know. Our planetary logos, our solar logos, they don't have all knowledge. The sun is as a crystal to a still greater being, so obviously it doesn't have all knowledge, but all knowledge within our particular local macrocosm, which in one way we can consider our planetary logos to be. So, a very great knowledge of mathematics and of cycles lies behind what Master DK says. And we have to take his word for it, or we simply use what he says as a working hypothesis. We can do that. Another reason for the upheavals of the present time, the great sweep of the sun around the greater zodiac, a period of 250,000 years, or a complete round. Now, there are rounds relating to our planetary chain, which lasts some 300 million years, according to Blavatsky. But this is an astronomical round, and we consider it to be, in a way, once around the Pleiades, that our sun and related suns, who are quite close to it, as part of seven solar systems, of which ours is one, would sweep around this Pleiadian center once every 250,000 years. We assume that that's what this means. It might mean something else. This process of passing, and this came to an end when the sun was entering Pisces over 2,000 years ago. Well, if we were to subtract 2160, what would we get? If we say, let's say that this is 2013, and we subtract 2160, we get approximately 147 BC. But no, that wouldn't be right. It would be better to do it this way. Let's clear this, because I was taking it from today's day. That would be wrong. Let's say the age of Aquarius begins in 2117, which is a figure that DK has given us in a private letter to Roberto Assagioli, which again Keith made available to the wider group. 2117 minus 2160, and we come to 43 BC, 44 BC, something like that. That's better. And that would be the time, approximately, that this great 250,000-year cycle came to an end. The beginning of the age of Pisces. There are these overlap periods of 500 years. So again, let's remember, everything is approximation for the moment. Not since ancient Egyptian times has there been true accuracy. But at that time, a new sweep of the sun around the zodiac began, and you wonder whether, you know, that was the Andromeda alignment, which Nicholas talks about. Kind of wonder whether that's the moment of alignment when the great sweep begins. Well, maybe maybe each sweep begins in a certain sign, because if we take 250,000 years, it probably cannot always begin and end with an age of Pisces. But if it's going in a retrograde motion, yeah, it could come back to the zero Aries. Yes, that could be the zero Aries alignment, and begin going in reverse order through Pisces. Maybe it always does begin then. This is just sheer speculation. But what's the important part is we're in a new one. We're in a new 250,000-year cycle, and it is incipient. We have another 250,000 years to go if occultism is to be credited. Great sweep of the sun around a greater zodiac, connected with other constellations which are related as chakras to the one about whom naught may be said. Stephen Pugh has done a lot of work on this and has a system which he values highly. I think there's a lot to be said for it. It requires, however, of us all, ongoing research and thought. This process of passing out of or entering into a particular sign and cyclic influence covers a period of 5,000 years, where this greater round or cycle is concerned. Aha. That's very interesting. A 5,000-year overlap period. I used to think this was associated with the 25,000-year cycle. But he uses the word this. Covers a period of 5,000 years where this greater round or cycle is concerned. This period of 5,000 years covers the complete cycle of transition until complete freedom to function under the inspiration of the new sign is completed. We are therefore not free from incidental turmoil. Now, this is deep. Too deep for me, but the question is, does each one of these 250,000-year cycles, is it ruled by a particular sign? In this case, it began when the sun entered Pisces 2,000 years ago. Or are we speaking of a great Platonic year cycle, each cycle of which we know is dedicated to a particular sign? Like, for instance, we're going to be entering a 25,000-year cycle of Aquarius. But I don't think he is really not telling us that we're entering a 25,000-year cycle of Pisces. Not at all. Because that would be impossible if imminently we're going to be entering a 25,000-year cycle of Aquarius. Usually what I have understood is that our normal precessional ages have a 500-year overlap. Our 2160-year precessional ages, sometimes conventionalized as 2500, but 2160 is the more exact term. They have a 500-year overlap, and that the cycle of 25,000 years has a 5,000-year overlap, in which case I would anticipate that a factor of 10 is involved and that 10 times 5,000 would be appropriate for a 250,000-year cycle. 10 times 25,000, times 5,000, 50,000. But there is a use of words here which makes me uncertain. This process of passing out of or entering into a particular sign and cyclic influence covers a period of 5,000 years where this greater round or cycle is concerned. And it implies that each of these greater rounds, a 250,000-year round, may be ruled by a particular sign of the zodiac, which one it would be impossible for us to determine if it is so. Now, we do know we are finishing up a 25,000-year age of Pisces and also finishing up at a designated time a 2500 or 2160 precessional age of Pisces. We're finishing that up. We're about to go into the small age of Aquarius, but also into the large age of Aquarius. But if there is a sign of the zodiac associated with this 250,000-year cycle, we don't know what that is. And as I say, there seems to be a mismatch, because elsewhere he seems to tell us, I have to use the word seems because I could be misinterpreting, of course, but he seems to tell us that the 500-year cycle of overlap, roughly a fifth, maybe 250 years on either side, corresponds with the small precessional age. That a 5,000-year cycle corresponds with the large precessional age. But now, does it also correspond with one of these 250,000-year cycles? Our proportion would not match. So we have to leave this for further explanation. It's the word this that troubles me, because he does seem to be relating the 5,000 years to the 250,000 years, in which case it's not one-fifth, but one-fiftieth, I guess. Is that correct? Let's check this out. 250,000 divided by 5,000. Oh, that's not working. Let's see. I don't want to take too long here. But 250,000 divided by 5,000 equals 50. Yep, 1/50. So the proportion has changed, at least if we consider the thing should be analogous. But what's the important thing here? You know, after much discussion and speculation, one could say, well, what's important? Well, we're really, with respect to the one about whom naught may be said, and his greater zodiac, entering a new cycle. Three new cycles. 2,000 years ago is just a drop in the bucket, right? It's just one small precessional age. So we've entered a great cycle of 250,000 years. What that's supposed to accomplish, who is to say? We could consult with Philip Lindsay as to what 250,000 years may represent in terms of the duration of root races. Now, we've been in the fifth root race for about 1,000,000 years. Everything's approximate. We've had four root races. We're in the fifth, which may apparently began 100,000 years ago, at least by some measures. Maybe every 250,000 years gives us a new root race for humanity on this planet. You know, when it says 1,000,000 years ago, Philip believes that the early signs of Arianism even began at the time of the Great War 4 million years ago, when there was an overlap between the fourth subrace of the fourth root race and kind of a, or the fifth, I suppose, the fifth subrace of the fourth root race and the beginning of the fifth root race, its seeds. Maybe he calls it 5.0. And maybe 5.1 was more like a million years ago, the first or truly Aryan subrace of the fifth root race. But in any case, there seems to be a possibility here that some of these root races could be enduring for that kind of span. Now, we are expecting another root race to emerge. And it begins to emerge in the next processional age, perhaps the age of Capricorn. The sixth root race will be emerging. But there's a problem here. And I see that I've been calculating just a little bit. You see, this 250,000-year period is much smaller than the duration of, well, these would be sub-races. Our Aryan race has only been going for about a million years, so there are sub-race possibilities in it. We're entering the sixth sub-race. Yes, we are. The sixth root race itself is scheduled to last for 10 million years. That's where my mind was having that little hang-up. 10 million years. And the Aquarian, the fifth root race is seemingly much smaller. The Atlantean root race was very long. Early Atlantean times were 12 million years ago, DK tells us, and Atlantis, even the war in Atlantis some 4 million years ago, didn't end the Atlantean race. So Arianism really took over about a million years ago, so we've got some 11 million years operating there. Or would it be 10 million, you see? And the Lemurian root race didn't end with the beginning of Atlantis. But if Atlantis, early Atlantean times were 12 million years ago, and the Lemurian root race was beginning some 21 million years ago, we've got another figure there that suggests 9-10 million years. We could begin to hypothesize that root races last some 10 million years, although I think there's a difference in how long they last. But we have a problem with the Aryan root race, because it seems to last a shorter time unless it continues for a long time, going parallel with the incipient sixth root race. Well, why did I get off on all of that? It's trying to calculate these overlap periods and the duration of large cycles. It was the relationship of the 250,000-year cycle to what's going on in the Aryan root race. Of course, it is the fifth, and hence related to the number 5. And 250, or 2.5, being half of that. Now, the other root races last so long that we cannot say that their sub-races would endure for 250,000 years. That would not be correct. They must be much longer. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that this cycle of 250,000 years, or as we refer to it in shorthand, as once around the Pleiades, whether or not that's actually the case, has its strong effects on humanity. And not just on the individual's cycle, or the short-term cycles of, you know, like second ray 500 years, third ray 900 years. Those are very short cycles. But on the larger developments within humanity as a whole, probably related to root race development. Anyway, this 250,000-year figure looks quite important in relation to the Aryan root race or the fifth root race. This period of 5,000 years covers the complete cycle of transition until complete freedom to function under the inspiration of the new sign is completed. Now, that kind of statement makes me think that the 5,000-year cycle really does belong to the Platonic year and the sign that rules it. But we cannot dismiss the word this greater round. So DK is being a little bit, or either my mind is confused, or DK is being a little bit indeterminate here and leaving it to our intuition. The greater sweep of the sun around the great zodiac, a period of 250,000 years, or a complete round of one kind, came to an end when the sign entered Pisces. Now you kind of wonder, if you put together, if you put together 12 Platonic years, you get 300,000. But because of overlaps, that might be like a super Platonic year. Just the way, instead of 25,920, we chose 25,000 years, conventionalized. And instead of 2,160, we chose 2,500. It may be that there is a super Platonic year. I'm just speculating here. Super Platonic year of 250,000 years of whereas the actual sum of 12 times 25,000 is 300,000. But I think we're close enough to think that there may be, with 12 Platonic years, a greater cycle. We can call the super Platonic year, and 300,000 is not so far away from 250,000, especially given these overlap periods. Because during an overlap period, you are really in both signs at once. So just imagine two I can't really show this on my... can't draw it, can't show it, but here's two things right next to each other, two ages. They are shorter if you overlap them. They both still exist, but overlapped, they are reduced. So instead of like 250,000, you overlap them and you deduct 5,000. So instead of being 500,000, they would be 4,000. They would still be 4,000. let's just do it mathematically, because I'm going to go on here forever trying to find it. If it was 50,000, If it was 50,000, we'd have 12 times 50,000, which would be 12 times 5 is 60. We would end up subtracting from this huge period a sum. Let's see, 60, that would be, okay, 50,000 times 12 is how much? Please excuse this. I'm just into new thoughts for myself, somewhat new. And that's, Right. And 60, and so it would be, instead of, if this is 600,000, you would subtract 60,000. Yes, I get it now. So from the 300,000 year period, 60,000 would be subtracted if for every overlap, 500,000 were deducted. And you would come up with about 240,000 years. Excuse the convoluted way in which I'm trying to arrive at this larger figure. And so that would, instead of just butting 25,000 year periods one against another, we'd have these overlap periods, and the 300,000 would be reduced to about 240,000 or 250,000 years, which would be a super Platonic year and correspond somewhat or closely maybe with once around the Pleiades. That's the first time I've thought of this particular configuration. I've been skirting around the edges of it at different times, and I think I've discussed this also with Stephen Pugh and some others on the International Esoteric Astrology Academy, the IAEA, also something like the Atomic Energy Commission, but we didn't know that when we got the acronym for it. So I know I've spent a long time on this, and I hope I haven't made it so tedious that it's completely boring, but we're dealing with three great cycles, and there are changes in all of these cycles right now. The transition in the small precessional age, the transition in the big precessional age, which we call the Platonic year, and a transition in what I want to call the super Platonic year, which may or may not be correlated with the sign of the zodiac, and for which I would prefer, see a super Platonic year. Oh, don't tell me I'm going to do this now. If we get 250,000 times 250,000 is the super Platonic year. Oh, goodness, now I seem to want to bring 12 of those together, but I won't. I'm wondering how many super Platonic years we might have. I think I'll just stop short at the one that lasts approximately 250,000 years, but I'm tempted to think that we'll have something that ends up around 2,500,000 if we carry it even farther. Anyway, when the overlap periods in these ages are completed, then there is complete freedom to function under the inspiration of the new sign. Now, this has relevance. We do not now have freedom to function under the sign Aquarius, because the overlap period of some 500 years is not yet completed. And we are not yet at the year 2117. And we have incidental turmoil. Lots of it. So the causes of this turmoil have been Sirian force, a reorientation of our Earth's axis and change of polarity, and the completion of a great super Platonic year. I like it more and more. And so we are really in the midst of turmoil, but we are in the midst of that time towards which the hierarchy at its founding looked forward. The whole of creation groaneth and travaileth until the coming of the sons of God, something like that from St. Paul. And this is the period anticipated, a great change of kingdoms on our planet, the expansion of the fifth kingdom of nature, the kingdom of souls, and with it, since the number 2 and 5 are so connected, the emergence of the soul of our planet through the process of the reappearance of the Christ and the appearance of the fifth kingdom and the first initiation of humanity. Big things happening, and we would have no idea that they were happening without being informed of these cycles. So indeed, we are standing on the shoulders of giants. Now, what we're doing is we're talking about why things are so difficult now. Why are we in this world crisis? I guess there's more than 3 answers. Oh, he gives us 5, doesn't he? The passing of our sun out of the sign Pisces into the sign Aquarius is another of the conditions bringing about the present confusion. Now, this is particularly a small precessional age. This confusion of forces in the solar system, not just on our planet, but you see, well, it's interesting because is he hinting that there is a solar systemic passing out of Pisces into Aquarius? Usually it has to do with the orientation of our own Earth and the background against which the vernal equinox of our Earth can be seen or aligned or aligned with. So the fact that we're going through into an age of Aquarius doesn't mean that Venus is, or that Uranus is, or that, you know, they'll have a completely different kind of orientation against the background of constellations than we will have. But there is also a sense in which our solar logos has a type of orientation against the background of the constellations, which may be a moving circle. That is the inference. Stephen Pugh inferred that it is a moving circle. So there may be, from the solar systemic point of view, a transition going on between ages. Now, if we've completed a 250,000-year round, which began when the sun entered Pisces, we're in the at the completion of that round, it's not about Aquarius. But there may be in the solar system a confusion of forces in the solar system caused by what? Is it because of a reorientation of energies of our solar logos to a particular constellation of the zodiac, from one constellation to another? Is our solar logos itself changing the focus on energies received from one constellation to another? Because the constellations are very great beings, our solar logos is a lesser being and has a relation to all 12. It just starts to get bigger and bigger. I see all these different cycles interplaying with each other, and all have to be determined in a relative sense from their own perspective, but they have to be seen in a much larger perspective, the perspective of the one about whom naught may be said. But these confusion of forces in the solar system is notably affecting our planet. And I just want to say, without being able to put my finger on it in any exact way, there may be a transition, a zodiacal transition occurring, which affects our whole solar system and not just our planet. But this solar systemic confusion will affect our planet. See, the great ages, Platonic ages, are basically planetary in their cause. It's because we have it seems to be the case that the orientation of a Platonic year is due to the gyration of our Earth's axis. In other words, we complete one Platonic year shortly, and it's because of the gyration of our Earth's axis. But there are other types of Platonic years on other planets, probably having to do with the gyration of their axis, which will be ruled by different signs. I don't know how that would work out, but they must necessarily be ruled by different signs. And yet what we're looking for is a kind of zodiacal sign or constellation which rules the process for the entire solar system for a certain duration. And maybe one begins to wonder whether this 250,000 year cycle, which relates to our sun and some contiguous suns, does not become differently oriented to different signs. Now, if we were to look toward the Pleiades at this time, we see from wherever we are, we see the constellation Taurus. That's just a visual lineup. And so the Pleiades, which is the center of the whole thing, seems to be in Taurus. As we move on, Taurus will no longer be the constellation of reference. The question is, which way are we moving? In this, apparently, are we moving backwards? Are we moving in the counterclockwise manner? If we're moving in the counterclockwise manner, the next reference constellation through which we see the Pleiades will be Gemini. And each of these, see, if that's the whole solar system that's doing this, not just our planet. There are problems here, of course. If we were moving in the clockwise direction, the next one would be Aries, because we would see the constellation, we would see the Pleiades as if through the constellation Aries, because we'd be moving in the clockwise direction. Well, I can't really say, we haven't even confirmed scientifically that the sun and its contiguous stars moves actually around the Pleiades. And we have not, if it does, we haven't determined the direction clockwise or counterclockwise that it does move. But let's just say for the whole solar system, the whole solar system would then be in a certain sign, or would have a certain sign referencing it very powerfully. Now, at the present time, it appears to be Taurus. But maybe there's a time in which Gemini rules the entire solar system, you see. Now, this is approximately the duration of Platonic years we're talking about 25,000. So, is it reasonable to think that the entire solar system would be ruled by a particular sign of the zodiac in 25,000 year periods. This does not solve the idea that the entire 250,000 year cycle would be ruled by one sign of the zodiac. That would have to be determined in yet another way. Well, I've opened a can of worms here, more than I can handle, but maybe some esoteric astrologers, astronomers of the future can look into these things and can see whether there is basis for the idea that the entire solar system will be affected by signs regardless of what's going on a particular planet. Like because of our Platonic year gyration, we're moving from an age of Pisces into an age of Aquarius in the large sense. What determines that? Is that true only for our planet? It seems to be, because it's correlated to our gyration, to the ending of our 25,000 year cycle, and our cycle is 25,000 years. Another planetary gyration of axes might not be 25,000 years at all, and a different type of Platonic year rulership would occur there. So we have a Platonic year that relates entirely to our planet, so it seems. But we also maybe have a type of age, which is approximately the size of a Platonic year, which is relating to the whole solar system. When we divide the 300,000 year period, by 12, and take account of the overlap periods. And yet we may have something that affects the whole solar system in 250,000 year segments, a conditioning force for a 250,000 year segment. That would be one complete super Platonic year, so to speak. Other planets wouldn't consider, you know, if they're not operating on the number 25, it wouldn't be for them a super Platonic year, but there's something very close connecting our particular fourth order solar logos with what happens on the fourth planet from the sun, Vulcan, Mercury, fourth major planet from the sun, Vulcan, Mercury, Venus, Earth. So there's a connection between the Earth and the sun, very intimate, psychically considered, and the number 25 does seem to relate to it. 25 and the expansions of 25. So we're looking at, in summary, and you might say, thank God, a summary. The small precessional age of 2,500 years, the large precessional age of 2,500 years, are both affecting our planet. A possible solar systemic influence that is of the approximate duration of 25,000 years, having to do with the movement of our sun around the Pleiades, if this is eventually proved to be true, and the statements of esotericism are not just symbolic, but actual. So that would be ruled by a particular sign of the zodiac, and not necessarily at all the same one as is affecting our planet at the moment. We're in a certain Platonic year moving to another, but that Platonic year cycle for the whole solar system would bring in a different influence than the one affecting our planet right now. And then if it is the case, maybe the 250,000 year cycle is itself ruled by one of the signs of the zodiac, and you might even want to expand that to the 2,500,000 year cycle, of which there would have been maybe, well, almost 4, 8, 9 approximately since the Lemurian root race began, since individualization began. Well, you know, this is crude, of course, but just kind of opening up to our minds all of these interlocking cycles, these will one day have to be considered, because after all, the initiations of the solar logos affect the initiations of our planetary logos, and these affect the human, the initiations of the human kingdom, and the individual initiations are all related. And all the periods of disturbance, and we are passing through one now, have their different domains. Ours is perhaps a small disturbance on this planet now, compared with a solar systemic disturbance, which is also related to initiatory cycles. In the process of passing from sign to sign, for instance, transiting out of Pisces into Aquarius, as is now the case, the period covered is approximately 500 years. When he uses the word approximately, you have to be wary. There are exact figures, but they couldn't possibly be given out exoterically because they hold tremendous power. If one could really know exactly the point at which we find ourselves, we'd also know the divine plan. We would know much upon which the divine plan is based. Now, I have to apologize a little bit for these early programs. You know, this part of the astrology book is going to take us into supra-individual considerations. It's going to take us into cosmic considerations. So, you know, my slow mind here, human mind, trying to figure out this interrelation. I do believe our whole solar system is in a particular sign of the zodiac at this time, in a particular constellation of the zodiac, and we'd probably really have to consider it totally from the stellar point of view. I think from the sixth initiation onward, tropical astrology is not going to apply so much. Well, let's put it like this. With a being like our planetary logos, it is stellar astrology which is going to apply. This is my assumption. And so when we're talking about astrology of the solar logos, which would affect all these seven solar systems, they'd all be in the same age. They're so close that their orientation, when looking at the Pleiades, to a background group of stars would be just about the same. For all practical purposes, the same. We are, the Pleiades is the hub of the wheel. Now, this is an idea that Stephen Pugh has strongly emphasized then, you know, in his pioneering work. And it's Taurus we're seeing the Pleiades through. It will not be so forever. And so for our solar system, and all these solar systems, they would all be in the age of that constellation through which they see the Pleiades. When Sirius is looking at the Pleiades, it is my assumption that it would, all this tight group of constellations, some 410 light years from the Pleiades, they'd all be seeing the Pleiades through Taurus. There are other problems here, but we won't deal with those. And then if that whole group of constellations moves together, which I assume that it does, a lot of assumptions here, aren't there? Then when looking at the Pleiades in some another 250,000 years, even just 25,000 years, a different constellation is the background of the Pleiades. And so that would affect all those solar systems that are moving together. Of course, I am assuming that they all move together. I'm assuming they're part of a family, the seven solar systems, of which ours is one, and there are different views upon which those seven solar systems actually are. But you know, there would be a constellational energy affecting all of them, because they would all be receiving through the Pleiades that particular constellation. But of course, there are vernal equinoxes or something corresponding to them, each one of those stars, and they would be different, like our sun's particular orientation according to its axis and vernal equinox would be different than that of Sirius, different from that of Alpha Centauri. And so now I'll make a correction here, that the particular sign of the zodiac affecting our sun would have to do with its own vernal equinox, or the correspondence to ours. And that would be different from every other star in our local seven major solar systems. So, summary again. We have the small precessional age, which is a movement from Pisces to Aquarius. It's accomplished by the year 2117. We have the large precessional age of 25,000 years approximately affecting our Earth, and only our Earth, again moving from Aquarius to Pisces. It's some kind of coincidence. No, from Pisces to Aquarius. It's some kind of coincidence. In the small case, from Pisces to Aquarius. In the large case, from Pisces to Aquarius. And we don't know when that larger Platonic year ends. Then we have what may be going on in relation to our entire solar system, and that has to do with the orientation of our sun, per se, to different ones of the zodiacal constellations. What may be that age? I speculated on it earlier. I seem in my dim memory to remember it had something to do with Leo. Maybe. But the idea is what is important, not the particular constellation, zodiacal constellation, towards which its orienting point or sort of vernal equinox is oriented, pointing. And then we have the orientation of the seven contiguous solar systems traveling together around the Pleiades, and the different signs of the zodiac toward which they will be oriented. And that every 25,000 years or so, you know, with some overlaps, it's a every 25,000 years or so, that will be changing, and it'll affect all the solar systems. Now, what is this? Is there a sign of the zodiac that rules every 250,000 year cycle? And so the last question is, will there be a change of sign affecting all of those seven solar systems every 250,000 years? That's, for me, an unanswerable question. But I speculate upon it. And all of these energies will be overlays upon the seven solar systems, then upon our sun, which has its own orientation, own zodiacal orientation. And that will overlay upon the Earth, which has its own zodiacal orientation, either according to the 25,000-year cycle or according to just one fragment of that 25,000-year cycle. Now, in order to do this properly, we would have to know the gyration of the Earth, of the sun on its axis. It said there's one complete revolution of the solar atom every 100,000 years or so. And that would mean, we don't know where we are in that cycle, but every 8,000 or so years, or maybe every 10,000 or so years with overlaps, our sun would be oriented towards a different constellation of the zodiac. That 100,000-year cycle, which he says is not determinable by our type of mathematics, the revolution of the solar atom, I wonder if I can find that, would determine what particular energy would be coming through our solar system as a whole and not the seven solar systems as a whole. So let's see here. Solar atom, if I can look at that. Solar atom. 100,000. Yes, there's only one. The solar atom. Take a look here. You know, this, my commentaries on this part of the book are going to be a little more philosophical, I'm afraid. Please forgive me. The solar atom must be considered as pursuing analogous lines of activity and as paralleling on a vast scale the evolution of the planetary atom. The entire solar sphere, the Lagoic ring past knot, rotates upon its axis, and thus all that is included within the sphere is carried in a circular manner through the heavens. The exact figures of the cycle, which covers this vast rotation, must remain as yet esoteric, but it may be stated it approximates 100,000 years, being as might be supposed, controlled by the energy of the first aspect and therefore the first ray. Wow. So that type of gyration, you know, maybe the sun is to be considered perpendicular and all other planets in relation to it deviant. But maybe the sun's perpendicularity does not apply to the galactic axis, which is on a different plane altogether. But let's just say that it's the perpendicular and that it rotates once every 100,000 years. Obviously, from whatever point we measure, if we keep the same point, if there's a kind of a vernal point or a main point for beginning the cycle, it's going to be oriented towards different constellations of the zodiac. It's a first-ray cycle. 12 times 10 would give us 120,000 years. Maybe each age is considered to be 10,000 years. But if we use an overlap period, and we don't know how big the overlap period should be, we could cut it down to 100,000-year cycle, just the way we cut down the 300,000-year cycle of taking 25,000 years times 12, we cut it down to 250,000. We could cut down a 120,000-year cycle for the sun down to 100,000. And then for some period of some 10,000 years, including overlaps, our sun would be oriented towards different constellations of the zodiac, which would affect the whole thing. What is it right now? What is the sign of the zodiac, or not sign so much as constellation, really affecting our entire solar system? So, summary. Again, summary. We have little precessional ages, which affect our planet for 2160 or 2500 years. Conventionalized decay gives us that period sometimes. It's from Pisces to Aquarius. We have a great Platonic year of approximately 25,000 years, but otherwise we might calculate it as 25,920 years, which affect our planet in terms of great precessional ages, now moving from Pisces to Aquarius. We can't tell when, but soon, he tells us. 25,000 years is over. Then we have the sun, with its rotation of the solar atom, oriented towards one particular sign of the zodiac or constellation of the zodiac for maybe some 10,000 years or 8,000 years, something. And it is affecting the entire solar system, and it's an overlay. Then we have all of the seven constellations, seven planets, seven suns, oriented through the Pleiades towards Taurus, but moving in such a way that they have to cover 12 constellations in their rotation, each up for approximately 25,000 years, affecting all seven solar systems and ours with a particular sign of the zodiac. And then lastly, in a way that we cannot determine, just as we cannot determine these other things, we have an entire 250,000-year cycle, which may be ruled by one constellation of the zodiac, and we don't know which. The analogy is here. That just the way a small precessional age is ruled by a sign of the zodiac, a particular sign of the zodiac, so is a large precessional age, which contains all 12 constellations of the zodiac, ruled by one of them. So in the same way, for the seven solar systems, there will be a passage around the Pleiades. Every 25,000 years, all seven will be ruled by one sign of the zodiac for 25,000 years, but maybe analogously, that entire cycle is ruled by one particular zodiacal constellation, maybe. All right, friends, that ought to be enough. That ought to be too much. Too much for me, probably too much for you, but it should get us thinking in expansive terms. So end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure, number 112. 112C, page 410. We haven't moved very fast in terms of pages, have we? And beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure 112D, page 410. Good. All right, that's it. That's it for the moment. And we'll come back later.